Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in. Another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording wall-to-wall Saints football talk for the next hour. So grab a drink, sit back. Because from Ruston to Monroe, Farmersville to Jonesboro, we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Guys, I don't even know where to start. Listen, I know we boast wall-to-wall Saints talk, but all of a sudden, how in the world the Rams, two big questions, how do the Rams get Ramsey under the salary cap? How does that all work? They were already right up against it. Then the other question is, how in the hell they get the Ravens to take a garbage cornerback in Peters off their hands?
I have no idea. That's probably more amazing than how they figured out how to get Ramsey.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know, man. I swear. It's
a strange thing. But then also remember that there are always people saying, well, before that trade deadline, the Saints could get OBJ. Yeah, but, you know, how are they going to afford to have OBJ? Where's that money going to come from, right? So, to me, when you look at the Rams, it's the same thing. Where's that money going to come from? All right, Peter's going to go over to the Ravens. Where that money's going to come from? So, we have this issue. Now, could it be like the Yankees? There's money someplace that we don't know about? Do they have something on the commissioner, you know?
Right.
I mean, don't know. Apparently, their GM went to the Loomis School of accounting. Because I don't know.
I mean, okay. There are ways. We all know there are ways to work around the salary cap to a degree, meaning you can squeeze somebody in. But sooner or later, you gotta what's the saying? The rooster's gonna come to roost or something like that. You gotta pay that bill to Peter Piper, to pick a pepper. It's one of those. Yeah. Look, you can lead a horse to water. But two in the hand is better than one in the bush.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
well, speak for yourself.
Keep order, help! Keep order, I said.
All right. Let's get back on track.
Yeah.
All right. So there are ways to get around it. There's ways to do it. It just depends on how much you want to suffer further down the road. If you can get the player to agree to first year, really low salary, you know.
Well, I don't know what they were paying Peters. So you unload Peters, he takes some money with him off of the cap. And then, you know, I don't. And I guess Ramsey, they didn't sign him to a new contract, right? So
not from what I got, no.
So he's still working off his rookie deal.
Right, and he may wind up being a half a year rental for him or whatever, you know.
Right. But reading this, it says they gave up two first rounders. So I really doubt that they're going to do anything I have to believe they have a deal at least in principle. There's no way they gave up two first rounders not knowing if they'll have them on the team next year. I can't see that by any stretch. Maybe the Atlanta Falcons, maybe they could do that. But other than that,
well, actually, I'll see here. No, he's actually in a fourth year of the 5-year rookie deal.
Okay.
Of course, he's still going to want a new contract because he already wanted one in Jacksonville. Yeah, he's sitting out or wanted to be traded.
Well, okay, I can see that. At least they have the security of knowing they have at least one more year that they can take the fifth-year option on him.
He would actually show up. I doubt he'd show up and play. He wouldn't show up in Jacksonville. Yeah.
They kind of have their hands full. I mean, we'll see. And you know what? It's one of those things where I heard, Tlaib, he's always been kind of a problem child. Maybe not.
He's injured. That's why he also needed it.
Is he also injured? Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Rams' willingness to bring in guys who, and, you know, I don't know if Ramsey, I always heard about his name in the news. I don't know if he's really a troublemaker. Peters, we know, since he came out of college, was a troublemaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, all right, let's switch gears to what we should be talking about anyway.
What is that?
The New Orleans Saints.
Oh!
Did you hear about the news? Their new Pro Bowl, because that's how they describe Peters in the news article that you read to me. Pro Bowl cornerback Peters traded to the Ravens. Pro Bowl quarterback Teddy Bridgewater leads the Saints to another victory.
Yes, sir.
4-0 as a starter.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's a little bit. I think I heard he.
I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints defense led the team to another victory.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. Matter of fact, Tomas, was it you who was telling me that about him apologizing to Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator?
We were talking about that. Yeah.
He said he went to him. Man, I'm sorry for the extra pressure I put on you.
Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, you kind of appreciate that. Oh, but I'm saying that didn't Kirk Cousins get in all kind of trouble and criticism for apologizing to his receivers? You hear about that?
No.
Well, Kirk Cousins got in the same kind of trouble apologizing to his receivers.
That was different because that all got misconstrued because people thought that Thielen and Diggs were complaining about Cousins. In reality, they were complaining about Zimmer, the coach. And so that's why he got in why people say, hey, why'd you apologize? Because, see, he thought they were talking about him until he found out that they were really talking about the coach.
Because
the coach just wants to run the ball and not throw it.
I see.
That was the issue in Minnesota.
Well, looking at Kirk Cousins' play, I don't really take issue with Zimmer for that.
He's had two good games in a row. Yeah. But, again, let's get back on point here.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater, not so flashy day.
He kind of regressed. But to his credit, when it mattered, the game, the one touchdown drive of the entire game, he went 6 for 7 and played well and you know, got it done. So
I found
ultimately.
It super interesting that after the game, Coach Payton literally says, and it's almost trolling, he says, I think we could have played, and I don't remember how many more quarters.
We could have played 8 quarters today.
8 more quarters, or 8 quarters,
eight quarters
they wouldn't have scored on us. So there was a lot of confidence going on. The way the defense is playing, I think that it's no longer a question. The New Orleans Saints are now a defensive team.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean they can't play offense. That doesn't mean they can't score. But this team is a lockdown. It's now a proven fact. All these younger guys that made us pretty good in the last couple of years, their rookie years, you know, I'm talking about Lattimore and that whole class. Now, this defense is a defense that week in and week out, you can expect to play very well, make plays, stop the run. I mean, it's just incredible how many games in a row they've managed to hold a runner under 100 yards. And if Leonard Fournette and that offense in Jacksonville, which, believe it or not, Heath, you were telling me during the game.
I think they were the number six offense coming into the game, which I didn't realize. I mean, I knew they had been having some success, you know, all the Minshew talk and everything that's been going on, but I didn't realize they were quite that good.
Yeah, so
number
I mean,
six.
You stopped a good offense. And look, I get it. It's Jacksonville, so you immediately like, you want to poo-poo the idea that they're good. But they have been playing well this year, and the rookie sensation, Minshew, you know, Ginsu.
A lot of it was rushing. You know, Fournette was –
playing really
second
well.
Second or third in the league in rushing, I think.
I think what really means – on our defense, I think the big difference maker is simply this. We have, in my opinion, the best defensive line in the NFL.
If not the best,
you
can make the argument.
Because, you know, we have not just three guys or two guys. No. We have like 5 or 6 guys that can all come in, put pressure, either push in the middle in – or by doing that, then they have to single up the outside. And then, I mean, if you saw some of those plays in the game, there was one play where Cam just lifted the guy up right from underneath his shoulder pads, and the guy was like, you know, one of those puppets up in the air. And you're like, dang.
I remember that play. He didn't get a sack on that play, I remember.
He was trying to do his best Davenport impression from the week before.
And that tells you something about where we are when you're saying, hey, man, Cam Jordan's doing something like Davenport's doing, you know? So listen, you have to wonder, at least I do, we signed Brown, the defensive tackle, in the offseason. Outstanding player, was a very good player in New England. And you have to believe that maybe the Saints thought that maybe Rankins wouldn't come back, wouldn't be ready, or maybe they wouldn't be able to re-sign one of them because they're coming up for contracts, that they went and got this guy. But at this point, forget about the future. We got three, I want to say, dominant.
Yeah.
Between Onyemata.
Brown, he has played extremely well for this. I think the Saints are getting more than what they thought they were going to get from him.
Absolutely. Hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We just getting started. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'll never be your face.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, yeah. David Romero, talking wall-to-wall Saints football. And now we're going to do the good, bad, and the ugly. We were talking a little bit about the Chicago Bears, our old buddy. And, man, here we go. Is it Akeem Hicks?
Akeem Hicks.
Oh, man.
You got it right.
Is it Akeem Mix, Nix, Tricks?
Hicks.
I got it right, so I should have just left it at that, huh? Yeah.
Actually, it don't matter now because he ain't going to be there anyway.
He won't be there. He's on IR. He's developed. I mean, he showed a lot of flashes when he played with the Saints. I was disappointed when we got rid of him, but he has turned into an absolute beast.
Yeah, it took him a little while, but he was another guy like Onyema. He was raw. Actually, he might have been a little further ahead of where Onyema was when he came in, but he was another one of those guys. Came out of Canada, never played it anywhere close to this kind of a level.
Right.
And it took him a little while, but he was turned into a really good player.
I just remember now. He was a kid that was supposed to go to LSU, highly ranked out of high school, and then had a meeting with somebody or did something he wasn't supposed to, and they sent him off, and so he ended up going to Canada. Y'all remember that? No? Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy.
Hey?
All right, man. it's a benefit to the Saints, especially right now. We're talking about the pass rush that the Bears have, and where in the past maybe that particular type of pass rush wouldn't have been as effective when we had Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get rid of the ball as quickly. And I think it may be a different – we'll have to see.
You a bounty hunter? Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, I mean, look, when you get to this point where you're winning games defensively, you have some of those games that look, you know, kind of ugly. Yeah, but at the end of the day, if you're a defensive team, that's kind of how you win. Heath, give us your ideas. The first, the good. Let's start with the good.
The good. Man, there was a few different ways I could go on this, but we haven't had him as specifically pointed out as a good. But Lattimore has really turned it on in the last few weeks. I mean, the guy is back to being
the guy we
saw as a rookie that we thought he was going to be, a shutdown guy. He's coming up and making tough tackles. He's all over the place. He had the interception, you know. I mean, he is really picked. I mean, really, I can say this. The whole backfield has been playing better.
Right.
Apple has played a lot better. Even Williams has played better.
Yeah.
But Lattimore, I got to call him out. Good job. I mean, he's really, really picked it up.
Well, what I find interesting about your selection is that he's supposed to be a guy that's a mainstay. You know, he's your Teron Armstead. He's your Cam Jordan. But quite frankly, he's been a little up and down.
Yeah.
And it just shows.
And he had given up the most passing yards in the league there at one point early on.
It's scary when you have a guy that's that talented and can show you those flashes, because sooner or later, the Saints are going to have to pay him. Yeah. And you just want to see that Cam Jordan-like consistency that every week, week in, week out, he comes to play. Yeah. And it makes me a little bit nervous.
And it was interesting that he made comments about that he needed to have his head in the game on every play. And then all of a sudden, his play started to reflect that right after he said it. So, I mean, he kind of told us he was having – it was a concentration thing.
He just gets bored sometimes.
Taking some time off, you know, yeah. And so he's got that cleaned up, and he's, you know, to his credit, he's really, really playing.
Well, and I think it's a complete difference maker on defense when you have a corner in general that you can put him out there and he shuts down their best guy. You can do so many different things. And then something that I feel like the Saints, okay, I'm not definitely not trying to imply that we've had great defensive backs through the years, but when you don't have much of a pass rush, those two things work in unison. When you know that the pass rush will force the quarterback to get the ball out in X amount of time, you're not sitting there worrying about double moves. You can be more aggressive. Just lots of things you can do.
Right.
And so when you combine that with the Saints' pass rush, it's unstoppable. It's a combination for – we talk about if we can get into a top 10 defense or we at some point we're in the last couple of years, we just get top 15.
Yeah.
Yes,
now, yeah. Now we're talking about top five type defense.
Yeah. I agree. So am I good?
Yes, let's hear you good, Tomas.
Well, I'm going to go offense instead of defense.
Okay.
And somebody who stepped up and we finally get to see something that I was hopeful for is Latavius Murray.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think that with Kamara banged up, and I'm telling you right now, I'm hopeful that Sean looks at it and says, you know what? Let's give Kamara one full game off. Let's not try to play him at all. Let's give him a game to try to heal up those little bangs that he's got, simply because we're going to need him after the break. So we got two games coming up, Chicago and Arizona. One on the road, one at home. Latavius Murray showed me that he can play that spot. He may not be, you know, as shifty as Alvin and maybe not as good as a pass guy, but he does the job. And he played with heart this last week. You know, he had a child, and he was inspired by his girlfriend giving him a son. And so he played really well. I was surprised at how good that first guy that hit him wasn't going to stop him. I mean, he really powered through a number of first hits, which I think is very impressive. So my good for this week is the running back, Latavius Murray, and I hope we see more of him in the next two games.
Well, yes. You touched on something that I thought was kind of an issue, and we knew going into the game Kamara was a bit banged up.
Yeah.
And, boy, it seemed like the Saints didn't really care. Now, yeah. Heath, before the game I said that I was concerned because, you know, you don't think about it much. He's been healthy through most of his –
Yeah,
but then you start looking, especially because Murray had not really stepped up. He's right. Done some good things. I liked him. Matter of fact, we were complaining that he should get some more touches.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he hasn't developed enough confidence yet for me to feel like, oh, if Kamara goes away, we still good. Then I start worrying about, like, man, boy, when you start envisioning the Saints offense right now with Bridgewater at quarterback and no Kamara.
Yeah.
It starts making you a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, it was a note that I took down that Murray, I mean, he's earned a lot of confidence. He's done some good things. Heath, you were talking about he should get more goal line action because that's what he was known for. That's what statistically.
Yeah. In the few years previous to him coming to the Saints, he led the league in goal-to-go touchdowns and short yardage. And it was quite a number for a guy that wasn't even a full-time starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a featured guy. He had 20-some-odd touchdowns over a three-year span or whatever it was in short yardage situations. And so up to this point in the season, I mean, it was almost like the Saints refused to put him in the game on a third and one or a second and one.
Makes you kind of wonder.
Like, and I'm starting to wonder. I'm thinking, like, what's going on with this guy? Has he gotten in the doghouse? Is he hurt? Is he, you know, what's going on?
Is Peyton is there some lack of confidence with Peyton? I mean, look, he sees him in practice, and I preach this all the time. And, you know, the coach watches him in practice in the preseason. We always tell, oh, this guy did this and that. But the coach sees him in practice, and it seems like there is a lack of confidence in him. And I talked about that as a observer.
Yeah,
but it's obvious that somebody in the coaching staff is not too high on him, because if Kamara's going into the game banged up, and to me, he didn't look like – maybe it's just good defense, but he didn't look like the normal Kamara. Yeah. He didn't look as explosive. And then, you know, he was taking hits, and I've always said the way you can tell – not that he's an old player, but you can tell when guys who were good start getting older because they start taking bigger hits because they don't quite have that elusiveness or that quickness they used to have.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, my concern is that he had a hurt ankle walking in. Now he's got a hurt ankle and a hurt knee. You know, if he has a bad ankle, you don't want him in there because he puts so much pressure on that leg, those little hop, skip, sudden cuts, you know. To me, it was like, look, he wanted to try. Okay, good. Thanks, AK. Hit the bench. If it's an emergency, we'll call you back in.
Right. Not, or selective situations, yeah, but, you know. Third you know, and three, yeah. We know we got to play it. Yeah. We can get that first down in the third quarter.
Yeah. Right.
But, not. I mean, in the first quarter.
I mean, he opened it up. I think he did first three plays of the game he was involved in, and he's running up the middle.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
right.
And so, yeah, I mean, but I had confidence that Murray could come in and be, you know, I'm not going to say he was going to be able to make us forget about Mark Ingram or whatever necessarily.
No.
But he was a good replacement for Ingram.
Yeah.
And I thought he could definitely give something to the team.
Yeah.
And so now we've seen it, and he is. And I, you know, Kamara is obviously a great screen running guy because of his ability, but I'm telling you, Murray, with his size and his speed.
The corners don't want nothing to do with him.
He's not going to make a lot of shift. He's going to kind of fluidly float in and out. But he had that one big one that was called back.
Right.
Yes.
That was
yes.
a hell of a play, yes. that touchdown.
Yes.
And, you know, so we see what he can bring to the table.
Yeah. All right. My good, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with special teams in general because, look, I don't know how many times we can watch Morstead put punt returners back up against the goal line. We had one early in the game where, and again, like it's not just the punter, both the gunners.
Hardy and JT Gray.
Every time Hardy turns his back, Gray is like, "Hey, I got the returner. You go run to the goal line."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know they're coached to do that, but you know, Hardy runs to the goal line. The ball literally just rolls right to him,
yeah.
and he stops him at, you know, inside the 1 yard line. The gunners, outstanding job. The punter, every week it's the same and it's consistency. And you got to love it.
Yeah.
Same thing with our kicking game with Lutz, and not necessarily that he did a bunch in this game, but the point is that to be a good defensive team, you have to be a good special teams team.
Yeah.
And the Saints, you know, we got a rookie punt returner. He's dynamic. He's made a few mistakes, and I hope as a rookie he's learning.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's shown that he can be a very good returner.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping they're rookie mistakes.
This week in particular, you know, there's been a little bit of an accumulation with him. But again, this week, I don't know if y'all caught the one. He started calling fair catch, I think, before the ball was off the punter's foot.
Right, yes.
And I mean, before the camera could even pan to him, the other team, nobody was within 20 yards of him. He was already waving his arm. And I'm going, what are you doing? You know,
well, the comment that you made that I found to be interesting, and I'll be completely honest, returning punts, not really something I've had a lot of experience at.
Yeah.
But you are right. I think the best punt returners have one eye downfield and one eye on the ball.
Yeah.
And maybe because a couple of times he's dropped the ball, maybe he's trying to focus a little bit more on catching the ball and securing the ball. Because on that particular play, the first thing I look for is the gunners. And both the gunners got taken out early, and I'm like, oh, we're going to do some business. And scanned over to the punt returner.
Because I think you even said, oh, we're going to get a return.
Yeah, we got a return.
Already waving a hand.
Literally, we wiped out their gunners, and they had no – and I was like, here we go. And I look up, and he's fair catching. I'm like, no! So, look, rookie stuff, but he's done a lot of good things, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So and I keep in mind, I said the whole special teams unit, so I'm not going to take off a bunch of points for some rookie mistakes going on. So I think he's learning and evolving. But I truly believe that that our special teams it's not just the defense. Is you have a good defense and they're having to travel the whole field. We talked a little bit about Bridgewater, and okay, he's getting the reputation, you know, it's checking down and it's not pushing the ball down the field. But you got to give him credit for not making the big mistake. And when you combine that with a team that's playing great defense, you're not putting them in a position where they playing with a short field. And if you have a defense this good and the team has to go 80, how many times in the past have we seen Saints defenses back a team up to the, you know, 4 yard line, 7 yard line, and then they go on a 97 yard or 93 yard, whatever it is, drive and score a touchdown. And you're just like, geez, and crackers, man.
Yeah.
So I think the combination of the way the Saints are playing football right now is very complimentary. And you just got to give them credit for the whole team kind of playing as a unit, not putting the defense in bad positions. The defense is carrying the show right now, and the addition of the special teams makes my point look like it's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my other potential choice for good was Sean Payton and the coaching staff, if you really you could say all of them, because they have this team doing what they need to do to be 4-0 without Drew Brees.
Yeah.
The coaching staff has done a good job because, like you said, you're getting help from every area.
Right.
And if it was to end right now, I can't imagine Sean Payton wouldn't be at the top or damn near at the top of Coach of the Year balloting right now for what he's been able to do.
You have
5-1 and 4-0 without Drew Brees.
You have to. I mean, it's something I hadn't given a lot of thought to, but at this point, even if Drew Brees comes back, you know, let's say we play a couple of more games, the fact that Payton was able to take that quarterback and that team and beat the teams we've beaten. We didn't just beat
started
like, oh,
out
man.
At Seattle. I mean, that was your first test out after losing Drew Brees. Yep. Is we got to go to Seattle, where the Saints have never fared well.
Right, and then deal with Dallas at home.
And then Dallas.
Because at that point, Dallas was, the team.
We put him into the death spiral. I'm happy about that.
And I'm not trying to relate this to 09, but I guess I am. If you remember in the 09 season, early in the season, before we knew what the Saints were, at least speaking for myself, I remember the Giants were undefeated. We had like three teams early in the season where it's like, oh boy, if we can just get past this, and like, oh, we beat them, or like, okay, well, we got two games we can, and you're always thinking how you get to 3-3.
Yeah.
And the Saints, oh, we just beat that undefeated team that's supposed to be really good. Oh, well, we just beat another undefeated team. Then you start thinking, to hell with 3-3, man, we're really good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and confidence too. Once you start winning against teams that are quality teams, you suddenly say, well, hold on, we're really that good.
Yeah. Speaking of that good, Tomas.
Speaking of me,
I'm talking about my pick'ems this week. I told y'all that I was just kind of luring you into a false sense of security. I got me 10 points this week, and I'm starting to make my move. Now, don't get me wrong. This week, I might go ahead and just lay back a little bit more because I don't want to get y'all too nervous for the stretch run. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk more about it in the pick'em segment at the bottom of the hour.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Before we went to break, I started to bring this up, and I didn't have enough time, but I want to ask the question, see what you guys think. Now, and this relates to Kamara. I'm not sure I even believe this, but it's something I think we can consider. How much of the fact that Kamara played, while we know he had a bum ankle, how much of it had to do with the fact that maybe the Saints, the coaching staff, felt like they needed to win this game because the Chicago game is obviously a much tougher game than the game that they played on Sunday. So Jaguars, solid team, but I think beatable. The Bears, although they've not played well, I think they lost two in a row.
Yeah.
But something else. Okay, for those NFL conspiracy theorists, I didn't realize until maybe Monday that the Bears were off on Sunday. So the Bears are a good team.
Yeah.
Has a bye week before they play the Saints. So for those conspirators, there's something.
Well, the Saints, the thing about the Saints with the Bears is Chicago is just another place that the Saints have never really fared very well. Now, luckily, we're playing them at a time in the season and the weather that we've been having in this country into fall so far, where I don't think, hopefully that's not going to be an issue. It's not like going to play them in blustery winter conditions and whatnot. But, I don't think so. I really don't. It looks to me like the Saints are really doing a good job as a team right now of taking each game one by one. They don't look like they're looking ahead. They look like they're really focused. The game plan looks very tailored to each team. Notice how different it looked.
Right.
Last week, Tampa Bay came in with a really poorly ranked pass defense. Teddy Bridgewater starts throwing the ball down the field. This week, he come in. Jacksonville's one of those 3 yards in a cloud of dust and good defense kind of teams. They went back a little more conservative. They never really asked Teddy to throw it down the field. It was the short underneath stuff, the screens, anyway, my point is I don't necessarily think they came into play. I think they just taken them one at a time.
Yep, I agree. And like you said, I think the coach is really sharpening up the game plan to do the best of what Teddy can do against whatever the opponent might be throwing at him.
Right.
The only thing, like we've said before, if Teddy would just, look, don't pump three times. Pump once, not there, throw the thing away.
Yeah.
Because he waits way too long, especially once you see him pump once and he pulls it back. Then you're like, oh no, because what's coming. So I think if Teddy could just get past that, we have two games coming up. We have the game against the Bears and then the Cardinals. Again, I think that defensively we can hold them. And I think offensively, again, if the coach continues to make the same kind of game plans that he has up to this point, I could see us winning both of these games too.
Honestly, I don't think any of these two games are unwinnable.
Yeah.
I just believe that Chicago might be able to out-Chicago us in Chicago. And I just felt like the Jaguars are a team that can be beat. Rookie quarterback, although you know, is Trubisky going to be back or not this week? The backup, we're familiar with them. And believe me, I believe that the Saints have a much better advantage knowing Chase Daniels. I didn't know. I'm just looking
at no ass, right? He's Daniel. No ass.
Oh, I thought I had Daniels.
I did it. I do that to look at Heath, and Heath usually gives me Cook or Cooks? Is it, you know, he just gives me the nod like,
It's Daniel with
The thing about it is the Saints are much more familiar with him than he is with what the Saints defense is capable of doing from, you know, practice-wise or whatever, because he's never gone up against those guys. Yeah. But the Saints, sure enough, have seen him in practice and in film room and say, look, take this away from him, take that away from him, and it'll minimize his strength.
I really don't want to go to Chicago with our better, air quotes, $15 million backup quarterback and lose to our old backup quarterback that we let walk.
Yeah, well, no, definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah, but no, I the Saints can win both of these games if they just keep doing what they're doing.
Well, okay, so, and I mean, I don't know. I think you making it sound a little bit too easy. I mean, Chicago, despite losing two games, it's a playoff team with a very tough defense.
Yeah, they do, but I think the Saints right now, I think the thing about the Saints right now is they are complete as a team.
Okay.
They're getting good play, good, you know, from all three phases. I think they're probably one of the most complete, if not the most complete, team in the NFL right now, despite not having Drew Brees on offense.
No, it's hard to argue. Matter of fact, I'm surprised, and I turn on the different networks and listen to their football coverage and talk, and they're saying the same thing, that the Saints are the best team in the league right now, from top to bottom. And it's hard to argue with that. I mean, we have depth, at least defensively. Offensively, I'm not as impressed because, like, the offensive line and wide receiver, our top guys are great, but boy, lose Michael Thomas, and I'm nervous about our receiving.
I don't know, man.
Lose Kamara.
I mean, look, any of those guys are tough to lose, but what we've seen over the years with the Saints system and Sean Payton as a coach, I think he can work around just about any damn thing.
That'd be impressive.
Yeah, and by the way, it's no S.
No, you ain't looking up. Yes. Yeah. Well, Heath has his finger on the pulse of those guys who have names that may or may not have S on the end of it. It's, you know, like, there's no Romero's. You know, it's like, you know what it is. But there's certain names you just don't know. Yeah. You don't know unless you actually research it, which, you know, is not a big strength of mine.
So. No. But I would say to you, I wouldn't worry so much. I know there have been a couple of articles where people are complaining about who is the number two receiver after Michael Thomas. I tend to go with Heath. I think if something were to happen to Michael Thomas, I think that coach knows what to do with what he has. And remember that there are two guys, receivers, that are on our practice squad.
Oh, here we go.
Well, look, you know, you can moan and groan all you want. Okay? And I'm going to go back to what I've said before because I truly believe this. I'm not going to be surprised at all if after the break we sign Dez Bryant. This will not surprise me whatsoever. Right. You know, and then you'll have your answer as to who's going to be the second guy.
Right. Well, the one thing I 100% agree with you with is that you do believe it.
Yes, I do believe that they'll sign Dez. And I do believe in Butler. I'm not the guy you're talking about.
Never mind. You just said I just believe. And I'm trying to be funny, Tomas. But I agree with you. I keep kind of waiting, and I'm seeing how far the deadline is. And I'm wondering why the Saints, because Austin Carr and Lil Jordan Humphreys, neither one of them got targeted in the game. You wonder if they not even getting looks. Now, I don't think our game plan, we didn't go into the game and say, hey, let's throw the ball a whole bunch.
No, we definitely did.
But at the end of the day, you definitely have openings for guys who could improve our roster at the receiver position. So
I would put more concern in that if Drew Brees is playing quarterback and those guys ain't getting any looks.
Right. No, true story. Yes, you know? Absolutely. If Drew Brees in there.
And that's not a knock on Teddy. It's just he's not Drew Brees.
And that's, you know what? That's a whole nother subject is in how people are judging Teddy Bridgewater on the heels of perhaps the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
Exactly.
I mean, arguable. I mean,
it's not a slight to Teddy Bridgewater to say he's not Drew Brees.
Right.
You know
right.
what? So not a whole lot of other guys aren't Drew Brees either.
Exactly.
All right. So we have a few minutes here. Let's quickly touch on some of the bad. Heath, you want to throw something out there?
All right. So my bad, you know, this is not a significant bad, but just in the fact that Teddy definitely kind of took a step back this week. You know, he just didn't play very well. In fact, we heard he even went to Dennis Allen and apologized, you know, like we talked about for not playing so well and putting him in a tougher position. Now, to his credit, the touchdown drive, he went 6 for 7. When it counted and when we needed it, we got the win. But he took a bit of a step back. He went back to, you know, I think he pump faked twice or maybe three times
before
one time.
Before he got sacked, sack, right, you
know.
Right.
And I would like to see him, you know, at some point he's got to start improving on that and doing that less often, if not completely eliminate those kinds of things.
When we start talking about Teddy Bridgewater versus Drew Brees, and we already touched on it, they're not the things that it makes me more aware of what makes Drew Brees great, and it's not always throwing a ball in there for a completion, because, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater does that too. It's the other things you don't appreciate is pumping the ball three times, and in that particular play, there was no pressure. So you pump the ball once, and then you say, man, let me just get rid of it so I don't
right.
take the sack.
Right.
Drew Brees, generally, I'm not saying he's perfect. He makes it. Drew Brees has made some boneheaded throws before.
Oh, no, it is, yeah,
but
definitely.
But
they're a lot
twice
fewer and
a
further
year,
in between. You know,
you know, yeah. if that much. To where when you watch a Teddy Bridgewater play, it's just like a handful of 5 or 6 plays. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but there's 5 or 6 plays where he takes a sack or he puts the team in a bad position. And that's where the big difference in managing the game comes. It's because sometimes not just making a big play, not making a negative play is every bit as
right.
important as
right.
that.
Like taking that sack and taking us out of field
yeah,
goal
Yeah, now
range
that was just
in the other
monumental.
Game that was, yesterday, besides for taking a sack, he had one where it would have been for first down. Michael Thomas was wide open and only about 5 yards away from
oh,
him.
Oh, that touchdown.
And he sailed the ball out of bounds.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, of course, the commentators went into, you know, it's a whole lot different when that big guy's running at you and you got to try. You know, he made a horrible throw.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Bottom line.
All right, Tomas?
Well, my bad is not going to be of our Saints team. It's going to be the referees again.
Here we go.
Yeah. You know, and I don't get a chance to do my rant anymore of, you know, the Tomas rant. But if I could, I'd do it again on these doggone referees. I have never seen so many false phantom, I don't know what you want to call them, holding offense and offsetting because there's holding defense. Then they show the replay and you're like, where was the holding? I didn't see it. Just like the Green Bay game with our good friend, and this is why I brought it up, you know, our good friend, the Garys, you know,
yes.
in Detroit. That game should have been a win for Detroit, and instead you have these referees calling as stupidest plays penalties. But
the,
okay.
the one where the guy was going for the interception and their heads hit, the defender, the safety's coming up to catch the ball, got his hands out, and they call him for...
Yeah.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We come back, we're going to do our pick'ems. Don't go anywhere.
BS and Beer Podcast, where we realize that taking candy from a baby is the responsible thing to do.
Do the dog catcher, baby, do the dog catcher.
Dogs.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast. Listen, before we went to break, our buddy, the Fighting Garys,
yep.
and the Detroit Lions, Tomas kind of touched on it,
yep.
but our good friend Lil Dice has been a
robbed.
Friend of the show forever, yep. Followed us, always has some interesting comments.
Yep. Yeah, he said we should give Gary 30 seconds on the show. And
unfortunately, Gary's not available, but he did manage to
send. He did
to
send in a text, and I'm going to read this really quick. He's called it Gary's Rant. And what he says about it is, being a Christian, I don't wish harm or death to anyone. But a skin rash on the gonads that lasts one full football season is within the realm of my prayers.
There you
so
go.
So there
yeah,
you go. That's how he feels about it.
Well, I tell you that. I don't know. I don't. Okay. So are we as fans, as followers of the game, and I'm saying we as the whole community of people who aren't playing the game,
yeah,
have we just become hypersensitive to everything because of some things that are happening and the social media, but it just seems like it's bad this year. Worse, but I mean, it was bad. I remember us complaining last year and the year before. So is it worse this year, Heath? It just seems that way. What's going on?
I think it is. I don't know how you look at this and just don't see that this is getting worse, you know. They're going to have to do something about this. It's ruining a product, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I've said this before. At some point, you have to say as the ownership, look, it's going to negatively impact our ratings, or the mass revenue. You hit them in a pocketbook. At some point, look, this game has to become a professional game for the referees as well. And so you're going to have people sign up just like players. You know, you come do your games. You spend the week studying film. You know, you're in shape. You hit the weight room, you know, so that when you're going to throw a flag, you're right there. You're not 15 yards away because, you know, that jelly, the three jelly donuts you ate in the morning are keeping you from running down the field, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
So it's got to come to that. And certainly I think some of what we are experiencing is because of technology. Yeah. You know, because again, I try to not be completely against the people officiating because the stuff happens in an instant. It's so quick.
Yeah,
they're just looking with their eyes. They don't have the,
Yeah. See, I don't have a problem with that. Okay? It's not, well, I don't want to say it's not the, because in other cases, it's like when they don't know the rules. They get together to discuss it, and they don't actually know what the rule was.
Right. Right.
That's a problem.
Yes.
But the technology has made it worse because we can see things now that we didn't see before.
Right.
But
then
they go back and look at it, and they're still getting it wrong.
Right.
And that's the problem. Like, how do you institute something like this? We can look at everything, and then we're still going to call it wrong. Or you know what? We're always going to err on the side of maybe we just couldn't quite tell it. So you don't ever have to make a decision. Eventually, somebody's going to have to step up and start actually making decisions.
Yeah, well,
they're talking about this instant, you know, this pass interference instant replay is a temporary thing for this 1 year. And right now, they've overwhelmingly proved that they need to throw it out, basically, because I think only one has ever been won. It's 24 out of 25 has been left. You know, you can see the interference in some cases on it, and they still are letting the play stand the way it was called.
But, Heath, don't you think that they're doing that on purpose? See, to me, I think they're doing it on purpose. I think that the referees got together and say, oh, we're going to show these people. Anytime they throw a flag for offensive pass interference, we're just going to say no.
Oh, well, no, I don't doubt that they are. But that's what I'm saying. It's all part of the problem. It doesn't matter why. Yeah. It's just still a problem, and it's become ridiculous anyway.
Well, one of the things that, like, for instance, when it was going through my head, I thought I was going to give the Saints, like, show something that I wasn't biased, but then I realized it was the Saints. There was a pass interference call against Williams, and they threw the flag, they replayed it, and then I have to ask myself, okay, I don't think the referees are trying to make changes on calls that were close. And that was an instance where when they showed the replay, at first I didn't think it was pass interference. Heath was like, that was pass interference. I watched it again, I'm like, that was pass interference. But having said that, they showed it frame by frame.
Right.
If you actually watch it in the game, it was
it's
just like boom, boom, a blink. Yeah. I mean, and I have always said, and again, I'm not showing how unbiased I am because it was the Saints' favor, but I have always said, look, if it's that close, you shouldn't have thrown it there.
Well,
the guy was covered.
That
would
be the other argument.
So,
yeah.
But if you have to get to the point where you slow it down frame by frame to see that he hit him right before the ball got there, then I'd say, man, to do that replay, don't use slow motion. Watch it normal speed.
And they may have.
And I don't
they
know
let
that.
It stand, and maybe that, you know, because we talked about this during the game. In that case, it's actually a detriment to look at it in slow motion.
Then it was obvious.
Because you can almost going to see that the contact may occur a couple of frames in every situation.
But then you could do the same thing, like when, you know, you wrap your arm around the guy from the back and you knock it away with your left hand, but you pulled him up. That's pass interference. Well, I mean, if you go frame by frame, you can see that his hand is on his back and his hand. Like, if you slow it down for those types of things, at some point you got to look at it and say, nope, he didn't pull the guy or change his, you know, alter his direction. And so at some point, the pass interference – I'm not trying to disagree with you guys, but I'm saying, man, I wonder what they're doing, because they are obviously, there was another one in the Detroit game where they said, they they criticized the head coach for not throwing a flag, and then another person took the side of, he probably said, I don't want to lose my time out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to change it.
Right,
because
that's all, exactly. And so ultimately, that's the problem.
So then you start wondering, okay, what point is there to have a penalty?
If you put in something reviewable and it goes one way 25 out of 26 times, to me, that tells me it's not working.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter which way it was going in. Right. One way or another, it's probably not working.
But one thing you said before we get to the pick'ems, I think Heath said it, somebody said, well, I don't think that they would have overturned the Saints' call in the NFC Championship game. That literally makes my heart hurt. Like, literally, not anxiety, but just something inside me just does, oh, don't. And I say, that's what it's for. Not for the little Williams pass interference where he got there a blink of the eye too early. I'm talking about the egregious. There was one a couple of years ago on Monday Night Football, game on the line. Kinkley,
yeah.
Runs. Yeah. Face first into the chest of the defender, knocks him down, and the ball hits him in the back, and they didn't call it, and the game's over, and Carolina won. And I was like, to me, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
Where it was just egregious. And maybe
right now we have no evidence to tell us that they would have changed the call.
Right. You know, and they're waiting for another one of those egregious New Orleans Saints kind of plays. That's because I literally get anxiety when y'all said that. Like, they wouldn't have changed it.
The fix is in. So
here's our pick segment.
Well,
I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, it's time for the pick. I'm looking at this. There's a lot of – I see a lot of road teams winning this week, Tomas. I see a lot of it. No?
You mean like the ones I've picked all along here that are all over the left-hand side?
Okay, so apparently I'm not breaking any new ground here.
Yeah.
All right, let's start Vikings plus one at the Lions. Heath, fighting Garys.
I'm taking the fighting Garys at home and giving up the point.
Me too. Same thing.
Well, I picked them last week, and they did me right. So unfortunately, Gary, they lost. But I'm picking the Lions as well. Now, here's another one I think is kind of interesting. The Raiders at the Packers. Packers giving up 7 points. I didn't think the Packers that good, honestly.
Oh, man. I don't think the Packers are that good, but the Raiders aren't really that good either. I think I'm going to take the Packers and actually give up the 7.
Okay. Now I'm taking the Raiders.
I'm going with the Raiders. I'm going to take them 7. Okay, Texans and the Colts. The Colts are giving up 1 point. Heath?
I'm taking the Texans and the point.
Me too. Deshaun Watson.
Same here, man. I mean, I don't understand this. The Colts, they played solid football, but, man, I think – and they did a couple of good things. They beat – who they beat? The Rams? They beat a team that was undefeated.
Kansas City.
Oh, well, never mind. Give them more credit than I thought. All right, 49ers. Are for real, Heath?
Yeah.
Man.
I'm going to take the 49ers on the road and give up to 10 to the hapless Washington franchise.
They're happyless. Right,
yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, they dumped their coach, but the real issue there is the owner. So I'm taking the 49ers, giving up the 10.
I'm same thing. I mean, all these road teams here. All right, let's try another one. Eagles at the Cowboys. Cowboys giving up 3 points.
Oh, man. You know, this one kind of on paper would seem a little more obvious. Yeah, you know what? I'm taking the Eagles anyway.
Okay.
I dislike Skip Bayless to the nth degree. Let's give him another loss. Dallas spelled with 3 L's. Take the Eagles.
Man, okay. I'm going to go with the – I hate the Cowboys. God, I'm going to have to change it. I'm going with the Eagles, but I think the Cowboys are going to win, but I just can't pick them. So yeah. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Let's go one more. The Patriots – are at the Jets, and the Jets are getting 9.5, but the Jets beat the world famous. How about them Cowboys? They must be amazing because there's no way they could have beat the Cowboys unless they were absolutely amazing, according to the media.
They're not amazing, but I'm going to take the Jets and the 9.5 points at home.
Not me. I learned my lesson. I give up those points. I stay with the Patriots.
Listen, they ain't going to win this game, but I'm picking the Jets just because I saw something out of that team. That
yeah, they were rejuvenated with Donald's return. The defense played well.
Greg I'm a lone wolf. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, hey, listen, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Wall-to-wall Saints talk. We'll be back next week. You notice we have extra time. I'm usually trying to get the fight in. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davey, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh, but I don't.